Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, greetings. Welcome in. It is a big Friday night here on Fox Sports Radio. To correct the big voice guy, no, this is not Jason Smith. He's off fighting Dementors at an undisclosed location in the greater Los Angeles area. No, Mike Harmon alongside my guy, Dan Beyer. You hear him weekdays here on Fox Sports Radio on the Doug Gottlieb Show. He and I get together a couple times a week to do the I Want Your Flex podcast. Week 2 preview is up and rolling. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get the audio. And then you hear him on the weekends, Sunday, breaking down games alongside George Reister. That's a lot of promotion to jump into things. But you know what? That's what you got to do. You got to sell. At hey, Dan Beyer on Fox is where you find him. How you doing, brother?
I appreciate every bit of selling that you're doing. And listen, I would love to be coy and be humble and say, oh, please, Mike. No, I will take all of it. So please, yes, if you wanted to go two more minutes, it's always like when Bob Barker came out on The Price is Right. At some point, you kind of got to tell the studio audience to like to sit down and shut up because you got to get on with the show. I would have stood there for two more minutes to let him applaud and whoop it up. So I will take every second of it, Mike.
See, having attended tapings of The Price is Right back in the Bob Barker era, I mean, it was the best because they were a well-run machine. You had like 42 minutes of content. They didn't tape for longer than 45 unless a machine broke.
Really?
And that included the extra two. Like, it was like timed so beautifully. It was a machine, Dan. I kid you not. The way they would move the different gaming apparatuses in for the next event and people down into the front row and everything. It's like it was a machine. I got to tell you, that was operational efficiency at its finest.
Were you ever called up to contestants row?
No,
unfortunately. Told to come on down? No, it didn't happen.
No, we didn't do that. But, you know, I was really trying to take one of the curtains because it was still done in the 70s decor.
Sure.
When he was there. Like, they never changed out the weird brown curtains or whatever.
Yeah.
I was trying to get away with at least one of the Price is Right logos. But, man, they had security all over the place because by the time I saw it, it was near to where he was finishing his run. So they were making sure nobody was walking out of there with anything.
And now with they're celebrating their 50th year. The new episodes actually started this week. And with Drew Carey there, you could tell it's a noticeably different feel, especially with the colors. You mentioned the old decor that it used to be. What's great is because my son, who's going to turn 5 months next week, recognizes colors. And so, like, we'll have Nick Jr. on and have all the cartoons on. What's great is that he also watches The Price is Right with me because the colors are all the same. Like, they're bright blue colors and there's green. And so he is locked in. So you got to give The Price is Right credit for that, at least changing it up and making it a little fresh.
There you go. Price is Right, coloration, and obviously your wall of mini helmets. Great teaching tools for your son as you get rolling. It's funny. I did take my mom at one point once Drew Carey took over, and before he let everything go gray and had the, you know, goatee and really leaned out, we kind of looked like each other. And she made the joke to the producers as you go through. They ask you for something interesting and kind of funny. And my mom made a joke about how I kind of look like him. I'm guaranteeing that's why I was nowhere near the front row when things got flowing.
Back in the corner. Top shelf back in the corner.
This guy cannot appear on camera so as to not cause any duress for anybody associated with the show. We're watching some college football tonight, a big college football weekend. Obviously, week 2 of the NFL underway. A lot of great storylines that we'll thread through over the course of the night. We'll have visits from Jason Cole, our buddy. We'll see how silly we can get and obviously get some real NFL business done with him as well. Todd Furman will join us in our final hour of the Bet the Board podcast, setting up a lot of your odds and some of the information and angles you might be looking to play as the weekend gets rolling. Right now, we got Central Florida down 7 to Louisville as we go to the fourth quarter there. So a lot of fireworks and entertainment. Because I'm a dope, Dan, I'm watching Maryland and Illinois And I'm also, a company loyalist as it is on FS1. Maryland with a 3-0 lead. Younger brother of Tungavailoa against the Illini. My Midwestern loyalty show. And I think it one of those things that plays as we go through, and we love college football and the breadth and scope of everything. We talk about the regionalization of the game all the time, right? And trying to wrap your arms around all these different conferences, and except when there's controversy or things like the Alliance start to come out there, or the SEC grabbing a couple of teams to augment what they've got going on. You know, we all kind of drift back into our favorite teams and conferences. And for me, it's always Midwestern football, and always the Big Ten is going to get the first glance from me. I think you, being the Wisconsin native, I would say that's probably the same.
Yes, yeah,
for
I've got
you,
this.
Right?
I've got this barn burner on as well. Three nothing game in the middle of the second quarter.
Yeah, yes. No, it's an absolute thriller. Illinois, a 7.5-point dog at home, 1-2. One of the great stat lines that popped up right as you get the inbox kind of information, and especially once you start going to closed captioning as you're on air, you're trying to get all the attention and make sense of all the sentences. And Petros is an eclectic guy, our buddy Petros Papadakis on the call with Alex Faust for this one. But Illinois has yet to score a point in the first quarter of any of their three games. So that bodes well for them. But we're watching it because we love our college football. And you and I, in getting ready for the show, one of the things that does come up, and a team that once upon a time was one of those glory teams, was Nebraska. And I mentioned the SEC expansion. You had Oklahoma. Well, you got a clash this weekend. And once upon a time, this would gravitate, and start to elevate just naturally to the forefront of our conversations of the college football weekend to come. It takes nothing away from Alabama, Florida, mind you. But it would still be in maybe not the same breath, but it would be the next paragraph. Whereas right now, given especially where Nebraska is, it becomes another game. And the reason I framed it that way is we're watching Maryland, Illinois. So your eyes gravitate to that because of your upbringing and everything. So trying to reach back and grab some of these old rivalries, these old games that had huge meaning. Like, I look at Notre Dame's schedule. All right, how many Big Ten teams are they going to face in a given year? The USC game, where does that fall on the schedule? Mm-hmm. All of those. Like, those are the things that stand out. But some of these other once classic matchups or things you wish were still in existence kind of go out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, and obviously now you can just turn on any find any network and there's going to be a game on. You can stream games, you can find them on a variety of different channels, but if you want to watch a college football game, you may have to work a little for it, but it's going to be on. And it wasn't like that 30 years ago. It wasn't like that 20 years ago. And so as we get ready for this weekend, and you have Nebraska taking on Oklahoma, the 50th anniversary of the game of the century. By the way, it wasn't the only game of the century, but it is the game of the century that I think we refer to the most. Like, there were a couple of LSU-Alabama matchups, Ohio State-Michigan, game that I was at in 2006. That was considered a game of the 21st century at that time. But when we do think of games of the century, the one that and the first and foremost I do think is Nebraska against Oklahoma. But now, Mike, heading into this weekend, obviously, we've talked about Nebraska and their problems and the difficulty of them not being a national power anymore for the Cornhuskers. This is not the marquee game of the week. It's Alabama, Florida, but more than likely. And there are some other good games. Auburn's at Penn State. You got an Arizona State BYU game that could be interesting. But I think Alabama, Florida is probably number one. And we expect Oklahoma to maybe run over Nebraska, beat them by 30 points, and we're going to move on. But it made me also think of, Mike, as you're talking about, like, regionalizations, if when we didn't have all the access, there were still other games that rose above. And you mentioned Notre Dame, and remember some good Notre Dame classics. But I even remember mid to late 90s and how big of a game Florida-Tennessee was. Because sure, this is Peyton Manning prime time. This is Steve Spurrier in his prime. And how Florida and Tennessee, for as much as LSU and Alabama would try to grab the night game that CBS gets once a year, the 8 o'clock Eastern time Saturday night showdown. That was Florida and Tennessee for many years during that time. And it's funny because growing up, and I was in college at that time, that was one of the matchups that you would talk about prominently in college football. As we sit here today, people would probably laugh if they, you know, guys who are in college right now, to think that Florida-Tennessee was the must-watch game in college football. But for a time it was, and it just, things change. And I long for those matchups. So I am interested in seeing Nebraska and Oklahoma, not only for game of the century wise, even though I wasn't alive, it's just Big 8 showdowns, Big 12 showdowns, and what those programs had. So there will be an interest there. It's not carrying as much weight because of where Nebraska is in the college football world today.
Yeah, I got one other, and I mean, we'll see it later on in the year, but certainly not holding the same weight. But a reminder that Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. And it's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Based on a 2021 Nielsen report, limitations do apply. And I reference, of course, Florida State. Right, where you've got Norvell, you got the guy that proposed to his girlfriend and got mocked across the way, and I suggested it, and now it's starting to go mainstream of the Beyond Me, and I've started that groundswell. You know, like you slam your staff into the ground, and then there's that earthquake effect, like I'm a superhero. But the, you know, as much as you don't want the guys necessarily to go back home, the idea that, all right, just let Deion Sanders take over the program and do what he's going to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, heck, Florida State, Miami. Remember how great
right?
that was for so many years, even before that, and that was a must watch game. I went to a Florida State, Miami, covered it about 15 years ago as well, and it didn't have the same juice. I mean, with those two schools not liking each other, yeah, that was still there. But also, as you said, Florida State had hate for each other. Florida and Miami also didn't like each other. They played somewhat. But, yeah, the Florida State
Florida
series
was problematic, it would appear. I mean, yeah. You know, just you go through the annals of history. Let's go through.
Yeah, nobody liked anybody. Florida State had a bunch of the, you know, even just when they would – they didn't play Notre Dame on an annual basis, but they had bigger games with them. But the rivalries that you mentioned, yeah, the Gators, and Knowles was big, and how many, you know, wide left and wide rights do you have for Florida State against Miami? That's what we miss are those matchups. Even a UCLA USC matchup, which was great because UCLA is kind of turning it around this season. Maybe you're hoping that UCLA or USC can keep up their end of the bargain. Well, now they're with a new head coach. So that kind of even has taken it off. It's so different. Nebraska-Oklahoma was such a big deal even not that long ago. Even Nebraska-Colorado, Mike, you know, for 20 years ago was a big game that they would play. And obviously both schools have left the Big 8 and the Big 12 conference, but that was even a big game 20 years ago. We don't feel those games except LSU, Alabama, and maybe another one that I'm even just having a difficult time. Ohio State, Michigan probably doesn't even have it because of Michigan's woes lately.
Yeah, and maybe this will be a different year. But I think your point about the ubiquitous nature of televisation at this point, and there's a lot of big words. I just earned $10 towards my, you know, next student loans when I go back for a PhD. But the idea that we have access to all these, so it wasn't an anticipatory, all right, on this day we are going to get this big game in prime time, mm-hmm. and we haven't seen these teams. Kind of like Major League Baseball and all of this because we have these packages, right? The NFL growing up, it was the stats and the box score, and occasionally, you know, they played the Bears or they were the game after the Bears, which meant they were playing either the 49ers or the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had those kind of things that were happening, whereas now you can pick and choose and bounce between all the games. So maybe they don't get quite that same buildup and, dare I say, the specialness, especially if that's even a word. That's a good question. It's so simple, and it should be. But the idea that we're playing for the playoffs versus what used to be prestigious bowl games or just beating the downstate rival. Or whatever.
Yeah, and it's different. Now conferences have divisions. So you're not even – you may – not even face that top school in your conference. Like, you look at, you know, what Alabama and Georgia could be if they played every year. Because, you know, you're looking at the SEC, Alabama-LSU has become that matchup. I think it's the closest thing that we have to what we had 20 or 30 years ago. But now with LSU falling off a bit, it doesn't kind of have that same cachet. But I felt that there were other matchups. Even, you know, Texas-Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl is always a must-watch, so maybe you could put that in, but I'm not sure on how much that captivates the country or brings the country in like we had some of those huge matchups again in the 1990s or in the 1980s.
The changing face of the collegiate game. We'll do our best to – maybe we'll build out a website and just really promote the hell out of it in WWE-inspired rants.
Well, if Notre Dame has another game of the century for them and they put it on Peacock, we've got a problem. That would be a big, big problem.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith off tonight. In his stead, my guy, my tag team partner on the I Want Your Flex podcast. You hear him across the network all week long, my guy Dan Beyer. Reminder, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA, NHTSA. Mike Harmon with Dan Beyer here. It's a big Friday night, which means week two NFL previews throughout the night. But we'd be remiss, Dan, if we didn't point out a big story close to home. $1.8 billion is the reported price tag. And on Friday morning, Steve Ballmer, the Los Angeles Clippers, and a very weird ceremony. They announced the Intuit Dome. In other words, get into it, because we need to make back that $1.8 billion. Not opening until 2024, but we have the announcement, a big groundbreaking ceremony. I don't know how much you saw of the video, Dan. It really left me a little confused and, well, kind of sad for the ball.
Well, this is what happens when you have a rally for a building, not even really for a team. It's just for actual steel and concrete, and you do it on a Friday morning at like 10 o'clock. Like that's what it ended up being for the Clippers. I love having another dome, and I know it's not like the domes that we're so used to of the Superdome, of the Hoosier Dome, of the Metrodome. It's not like those domes, but I'm just glad that we get a dome again and not a field house or an arena. It's a dome again. But this has always been talked about. Even when Steve Ballmer bought the team, it was kind of, there was so much throwing out there. There's talked about maybe changing the nickname of it. And for those that don't know, they are just the LA Clippers. They're not the Los Angeles Clippers, which doesn't make any sense when they wear a jersey that says Los Angeles across the front, but everything that they put in their releases is LA, LA, LA. They've tried to form their identity in a Lakers, Lakers, Lakers town, Mike. This is another step towards it. It's such a long play. Like, I'm talking like a 50 years play, but this is a big step for a franchise, and Laker fans will poo-poo it and say, ah, whatever. But this isn't for 2024, 2025. This is for the real parting of the ways for the Clippers to try to show that they're the new franchise.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing. For Steve Ballmer, from day one, when he bid the $2 billion and everybody scratched their head saying this is too much for a franchise, and like, okay, it's a franchise in LA. How often do franchises in general come up for sale? It's been a little more, I think, the last decade than we would normally see, but people cashing out because suddenly it was a couple hundred million dollar difference than it was 5 years before when you start looking at the television contracts and the globalization of the game and upwards with all the different streaming options and merchandising rights and everything else, as you see the market just overseas really become so immense. I see it all the time with trading cards. And it's that, you know, trying to figure out in your shipping, how do you properly charge and make sure that you can track things heading to China and Japan and Australia. I mean, that's you're not just going down the road and domestically with any of this stuff anymore. And that's part of the thing with the Clippers was recognizing, all right, Steve Ballmer wanted in, so maybe you overpaid at the time. But sure enough, everything caught up really quickly. And as always, Dan, he is about as animated as it gets, except during that one performance. He was as bored and confused as all the players sitting there looking.
Leonard was. And
yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the Kawhi Leonard face most of the time anyway. But now you put it in a circumstance that's supposed to be so celebratory. Like, wow. Did they pay you extra for showing up today? Or was this part of the contract? But for Steve Ballmer, he talked about it, you know, making a palazzo and all of that. But as you mentioned, you mentioned the Lakers. That's a big part of this.
We wanted to build a home that is of our own, that sets a standard for us. We don't play anybody's shadow. We want to redefine how sports is watched, how we listen to music, how we cheer for our favorite performers.
Developers, lots of them involved in the production here. And one of the things he really went on in his speech, Dan, was how as he traveled to watch games, he paid attention to all the details, right? The devil in the details to make this facility that much more interactive, immersive, and as a community, pulling folks together. So what does that mean? Well, he left no stone unturned, and he went right to the heart of the matter.
I'm not ashamed to admit, actually, I've become a real obsessive about toilets. Toilets. What do they look like? How do they get deployed? The architects keep getting on me. You're supposed to call them fixtures instead of toilets, but it's the same thing. Now, if you go in the upper bowl in Utah, and I know what you guys think. I think Utah's pretty noisy, and we had a chance to play there. So I kind of like Utah, but if you go in their upper bowl, they have a ratio where you get 79 people per bathroom fixture. Pretty good, pretty efficient. In our place, we're only going to have 27 people per fixture. Much more efficient. Big deal? Well, it is a big deal with the games tied in the fourth quarter. There's no question about that. Nature calls, we need you back in. Trust me on that.
How do you like that? That is where you're going straight to it. You've got to get out of your seat, and you can't be standing in line, right? Because the other thing is, if you're standing in line for the bathroom, you're also not back in your seat buying the next round of beers, sodas, or popcorn. It's a smart throughput, no pun intended, situation that Steve Ballmer is developing for you.
This is the next wave. Instead of PSLs, PTLs. Personal toilet licenses at arenas. You can have your own John if you pay, you know, X amount, 20 grand, and that John is yours. You have your own key code. You can type it in. That's where it needs to go. I do. The problem is everybody just goes at the same time. Like that's always been the problem, right? Is you just so when if you can just figure out a way to maneuver it and be like, all right, I'm not going to go right at halftime, and maybe I'll go early, you know, fourth quarter or end of the first quarter. You try to, you know, space it out. But I think that's the real dilemma. It's a nice selling point, but maybe he needs to go to the step further and lease toilets to fans, and you can even make more money off that.
Yeah, it's just this is how my attention to detail is. I care about your potty time. And, you know, technology is going to be great there, Dan. And obviously in Inglewood, I went to SoFi to watch the Bears-Rams to start my week. And a palace it is. It needs splashes of color. It's a bit staid for me, other than the, you know, roll-away banners and stuff. The Jumbotron's amazing. Right. But yeah. No, like concrete and steel. It's great. But I need a splash of color. We're in L.A. It needs to pop. It needs to have that extra pizzazz. And no doubt Steve Ballmer will be there. And that creepy ass mascot will be there with him.
You know, and seriously, it wasn't the main thing about the Lakers game, but it was a real thing that Lakers games are the place to be. right? Like, sure. Lakers games are the place to be. And I was not in LA at the time when the Clippers played in the Sports Arena, but I've never heard one good story about that time. So I'm going to take the word of all of those who attended games or covered games from that arena and just say it was not good. And then you go into an arena, a shared arena, Mike, when you're the Clippers, and you see the jerseys hanging up in the rafters,
sure.
So much so that the Clippers had to cover it, and then the Clippers were mocked for doing so. Well, how would you like it? You know, the seats in that arena were purple because 2/3 of the team playing in that arena had purple colors. Guess who didn't have purple uniforms? It was the Clippers. And so, they have always been that way of being less than, and it's starting to change, and it's not an overnight thing, and it's not a 5-year thing, and it's not a 10-year thing. But I've talked to people in LA with young kids, and they say, we go to the parks. Guess who's sponsoring the basketball courts? It's the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who now is making the playoffs more frequently and being active in free agency? It's the Clippers. They're never going to overtake the Lakers. It's not going to happen. Just like the Mets are never going to overtake the Yankees. But there is a spot that you can be, and this is another step for the Clippers to do that. And you know what? As you mentioned, the area that they're in is blowing up with the stadium. It's close to the airport. It could be the place to be 20 years from now. Who knows? But the Clippers at least are doing what they need to do to be successful in their city. That's why they wouldn't leave to go anywhere else when he bought the team.
Right. Create your own identity, right? They didn't go back to Seattle. They didn't go back down to San Diego. I mean, they stayed, and they are the tenant. And at some point, you don't want to be the tenant. You want your own piece, if only for the economic part of it all. I mean, just look at the difference in season tickets and what you can get if you are a Rams season ticket holder and the extra stuff, concerts and first avails and whatever, versus the Chargers. It's not to do anything, to say anything negative about the Chargers, but there's a certain part that helps to add to your coffers if you are.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Dan Byer is in for Jason Smith tonight. Reminder, don't let age beat you. Go and get M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts your energy. Visit mdrivefromn.com for 20% off with promo code SMITH, S-M-I-T-H. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive. Dan, from that last discussion, as we were talking about facilities and restaurant availability, Eric on Twitter, I swear I heard you hoping to have a, quote, hot chicken place. So demanding, Dan.
Hey, I am hooked. My wife, there's a place just up the street. Hot chick in place.
Yeah. No. Hot chick in place, opposed to hot chicken.
I think my wife would rather probably that be the case than her having to get me hot chicken when she's in Studio City. So that she probably would prefer it. But a hot chicken, not a hot chicken place. Oh, very good. Very
nicely
good.
Done. Wordsmithing, yeah. As we often do here on Fox Sports Radio. One of the marquee matchups for this week is a battle of unbeatens. You had the improbable Monday night victory of the Las Vegas Raiders. Josh Jacobs not going to be able to play, toe injury, which means it's time to welcome back the Drake alongside the Barber. We'll talk about them when we go Byer or selling like that.
All right,
for
I love
fantasy
it.
Purposes next yeah. hour. We also have the feud on tap at the about an hour from now, so we'll do that as well. But the Pittsburgh Steelers with a win over the Buffalo Bills, and Ben Roethlisberger coming off a season even with a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. A lot of questions coming off the surgery that he'd had and whether he'd lost his fastball. 18 of 32 in the opener, 56%. For those that want to do the quick math, 188 yards, one touchdown, zero interceptions, but not one of those monster games. And certainly a defensive battle, 23-16 your final, but expected Buffalo and Pittsburgh to be in the top 10 in total defense. And, well, they lived up to the billing, a block punt factored in and all of that. But for Ben Roethlisberger, I think there's, as much as we're talking and joking about Tom Brady playing until 50, I think people are trying to put the sun to set on Ben Roethlisberger here pretty fast. From what you saw week one, are we approaching that time? Is it twilight?
You know, the funny thing is Ben, after the game, was asked on how his elbow felt. Because remember, that was the issue, and he said that there were some issues last year. And then after the game, he said, well, the elbow feels great. It's the only part of my body that actually feels good. And I'm paraphrasing on what he's saying. What I wish he would have said was, you know, there's still just some things just working out of, you know, just still trying. I mean, it feels fine. Everything's fine. Just, you know, game reps, different story, that sort of thing, but we'll be fine. I almost wish he would have lied and said that because, Mike, if he is telling the truth, I think that this weekend is a really, really important snapshot on where the Steelers are and what Ben Roethlisberger is going to give them the rest of the year. And so much was made this week about Tom Brady saying, I'm going to play till I'm 50. And I think that we all wonder, like, is there ever going to be a time where it just ends like it did with Peyton Manning? And I'm starting to wonder, Mike, is it more like Drew Brees? Is it more like Phillip Rivers, where the fastball just is no longer there and you have to just get by with junk, throwing off-speed stuff and curveballs and knucklers? And because that's what Rivers and Brees, I felt, kind of ended up doing as they wrapped up in their career, just because the long ball wasn't there. And so if Ben's not able to make that throw anymore, and if he can't do it in week two against a defense that they should be able to take advantage of. I know the pass rush is really good against the Ravens, and maybe it'll be there against Pittsburgh on Sunday. But it's also, Mike, it's a September game. When you get to November and December, weather's going to affect. Cold's going to affect. Your body's not going to be reacting. So if Ben Roethlisberger has another outing like he did against Buffalo in week one, I think that there are a lot of questions about the limitations for what he would bring, and it brings everything that happened last year back into the picture, because he tried to, you know, quiet those skeptics and quiet those critics by saying how much better he felt and what the whole reconstruction of his elbow was. But if it's still there after another whole offseason, that is a big problem. That's why I think it's a big deal this weekend, just to see if Ben can make throws and be an effective quarterback and not have to be that junk pitcher.
There you go. I like that. The crafty southpaw at the end of his run. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things to it, right? Part of it, you didn't get to establish the run, right? All the great expectation that Najee Harris's arrival would fix everything. Well, not in week one against Buffalo, for sure. Ben Roethlisberger has often talked retirement, walking away. Aaron Rodgers, a rank amateur compared to him when it comes to all that. Likewise, you know, in terms of telling us when something's not 100% right, nobody's done it better than sure. Roethlisberger. You almost keep waiting for him to bring out a life-size game of operation. You know, right here, this hurts. And this hurts. And all of this. And it looks like him with the red nose and the whole nine yards. But as we go through, this will be a telling week. Like you said, a team that you can, in theory, exploit downfield. And Ngakoue is banged up. They lost Gerald McCoy already to the IR. So it should be opportunities available for Pittsburgh, and that defense, I suspect, terrorizes Derek Carr a bit. That game we'll spotlight later on as we do our picks. He's Dan Beyer in for Jason Smith. At Dan Beyer on Fox is where you find him. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Hey, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Coming up next, we have the fun and exciting unveiling of a new feature with Dan Beyer. We're playing the pyramid, or at least Dan Byers' version of it. MVP talk next on Fox.